Good morning to you. Hey, would you look at your neighbor and say, man, you look stressed out. You look stressed out. Now look at the other person on the other side that you just ignored and say, you look a little stressed too, brother, let me tell you. Oh, that's so much fun. So much fun. I just love you. You did such a good job, Emily. That is so good, man. She not did a good job. I leaned over and told Liz, I said, she honestly could stand here for an hour and just preach, and she wouldn't have any problem with that. I just love that. It's amazing. And I want to say, first of all, let's welcome our guests. You've already kind of been welcome, but can we say good hello to the new people that are here? We're glad you're here. And every week almost we have new people here. And God bless you for coming our way. We appreciate you. Let's welcome our online church, everybody. Come on. We love you guys. We always point at the camera and welcome our online church and people who are not able to be here today. But thank God we have this online service. It's a wonderful thing. And can I veer from the series for a minute? Y'all mind? Hope you don't mind. I know you didn't ask for this, but you're about to get it anyway. This week, there's first of all, it's week four for our group and Freedom Group. That's called Spiritual Order Week. And what that means is we're trying to order ourselves with the spirit controlling the soul and the body instead of the other way around. And too many times, my body controls everything else. Like, I'm hungry. I want something now. I don't care what it is. It don't have to be nutrition. I just want something to eat, all right? And so my body screams out. And if you ignore your soul, you kind of get like crazy in the head and you start losing your mind, because your soul is your intellect and will and thinking and emotions. And sometimes when I ignore my soul, I get in my emotions and I wind up living in my emotions. And hey, could y'all back this mic off just a little bit? I feel loud. Am I loud to y'all? Is it just me? It's just me. I'm sorry, Austin. I didn't mean to disrupt. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you guys. Thank you. You're not Austin. That's Nemo. Everybody say, hey, Nemo. So we get out of order. And it just this week, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to this week whose lives are being shattered by our enemy. And I don't want to give the enemy too much credit, because he's by the way, he's lost. That's why he's mad. And God's going to win it all. So we're going to focus on Christ so much. And Russ put this in my heart a couple weeks ago, and it's just been like overwhelmingly in my heart. We magnify Christ so big that the enemy goes away. And so when the enemy starts to come in, I just have to keep saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. You're amazing, God. This morning I went out. It was dark when I got up and went out, and I took my little doggy out to our little doggy. Sorry, it's our little doggy. His name is Graham. And anyway, I took him out to do his little business thing going on, you know, and I got him on the leash, and I just looked straight up, and if you didn't see the morning sky this morning, man, you missed something. It was like this beautiful full moon and the clouds going by, and I just said, right there, man, just God, you are so amazing, and he's everywhere. So we magnify his name. That's what this music is about, and that's what we try to do here at Discovery and in our lives. But this week I've seen so many people ransacked with hatred and anger and frustration and offense, and all these things are in people's heads. And I don't even remember what night it was, but I was laying in my bed thinking about that, and this passage came to my heart. And I'm careful about saying what God tells me to do and not to do, but I feel strongly this is something that, whether he told me that night or not, this is from the Word, and I just want to give you this. This is before the series sermon, but you're going to get a little pre-sermon today, because I'm going to tell you something. Scripture is very clear that our enemy is out to devour us. He's not playing around. If you dilly-dally in the enemy, he will eat you alive by yourself. I promise you that. He is that formidable. Nobody, except, well, there's a few religious people and some crazy people, handles a rattlesnake. But I'm going to tell you something. He's that way. He slithers around trying to figure out who he can bite next. And again, not giving him any credit, because he's defeated. But we have to be sober. The Bible says be sober and vigilant and always ready to look, because our adversary, the devil, is like a lion roaring, prowling around. He's ready to devour us. And so this word came into my heart. Paul said in Ephesians 4, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord. By the way, Paul's in prison when he writes this book, and he's for serving Jesus. I don't remember anybody in my lifetime in my immediate area who got arrested for talking about Jesus. Okay, I know it happens all over the world. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people die every year because they believe in Christ. And we get upset over the silliest stuff when it comes to church. Now, I'm not going to preach on that. I almost went into a preach, y'all. Y'all be careful. So I almost did. Almost did. Paul says, I'm a servant. I'm a prisoner for serving the Lord. He said, I beg you. King James says, beseech. I beseech you, therefore, my brothers. I'm begging. I'm pleading with you to do something. Here's what he says. To lead a life worthy of your calling. And somebody says, well, I'm not called. Preachers are called. Pastors are called. Ministers are called. No, 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 no. If you came to Christ, you are called to be his ambassador. 1 Corinthians and lots of other places, I can prove that. But you are called to be his ambassador. And you may be called to do it in a workplace or somewhere else besides where I do it or where everybody else. But you and all of us are called by God. He says, lead a life worthy of that call. It doesn't mean you got to be worthy because you can't be by yourself. You're only worthy because Jesus makes you that way. But he's saying we have to live a particular kind of life. He says, for you've all been called by God. And then he says, always, everybody say always. Always. Be what? Humble and kind. Always. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't always kind. Some of them are going, I don't even know this person next to me. Why is he telling me to say that? You put the word always in there. Be kind and humble. That's putting other people before yourself. That's in the sermon later, but that's right here as well. Always be humble and kind. Be patient with Keith. He's a mess, and you need to help him out a lot. We got to be patient with each other. We got to wait on one another. He says making allowance for each other's faults because of your love, not because of anything else except God gave you love and he gave you grace and he gave you mercy, and our job is to give that to everybody else. And we don't get to pick and choose. That person over there was really bad to me. I'm not giving them any more love. I'm done with that. Whoa, back up. He says, always be humble and kind. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of love. He didn't say excuse the faults. He didn't say overlook the faults. He didn't say don't even deal with the faults. He just said you love in spite of people's faults. I have to love you in spite of who you are. Pastors get together. We talk about our church. And the first thing somebody says, well, how's your church going? And usually the next statement is something about numbers. Well, we're growing. It's getting bigger, and it's or we wish we could grow more or whatever. And we always wind up talking. And I always start out with this sentence right here. My church is amazing. The worst part about my church is it's got people in it. And they look at me like, oh, okay, I get what you're talking about. I'm a people too. Your pastor's a people. And, y'all, we have to make allowances for us being people. And I just think sometimes we lose kind of a little sight of that. And then he says, make every effort. This is the verse that actually came in my head. I brought up my King James memorization because that's what I remembered the Bible in when I first remembered it. And in the King James, he says to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And here in the New Living Translation, it says, make every effort to keep yourselves, everybody say the word united. United. We are one. And then you come in this morning and sing that song. Micah did. He was up here. He had no idea I was going to talk about this. And this morning we were talking, and I mentioned this verse, and he said, we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And da-da-da-da-da. I can't remember the rest of the words. But anyway, one in the Spirit. And he says, make every effort. Yo, we can't just coast as a church. We can't just coast as a worship team. We can't just coast along. Shepherds, you guys that are shepherds in this church, we can't just coast along and expect the world just to be okay and everything's fine. This is like paddling a canoe upstream. If you stop paddling, you go with the flow, and we don't want to go with the flow. We want to be against the flow of the world. We want to be trudging through this thing and loving each other and making effort. He says, make an effort to bind yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called into one glorious hope for the future. Y'all, we are one. And he goes on to say there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and one God who's, I mean, he goes on to talk about these ones. If you notice Paul's writings, if you watch any of his writings, he is all about oneness. We are all baptized by one Spirit. On and on. He's all about oneness. Do you know why? Because if the devil wants to destroy this church, he will get between me and Liz. He'll get between Russ and Rebecca. He'll get between the shepherds and each other. He'll get between somebody on the worship team and say, well, I didn't get to sing as many songs as that. And I wish to do this. Blah, blah, blah. And he'll get between, I can't believe that person actually said that in front of me. And some of you know what I'm talking about. And my encouragement is not to focus on the negative stuff, but the next time, and y'all, I'm preaching to me. The next time that an offense comes into your head and you think that person's talking evil of you or saying something bad, I want you to capture that thought and I want you to put it on again, stomp it and say, that has to obey Jesus. That has to obey Jesus. Put it away. Yo, life is too short. And by the way, you can't control me. That's another thing pastors talk about a little bit. Has you ever figured out you can't control people? You can encourage, and you can persuade, and you can love. You can't control anybody except you. Oh, freedom is just teaching me so much again. I can play the victim, or I can play the victor. And I just want to claim Jesus this morning over this church, over these hallways. Often when I come in the mornings or especially on Sundays, I just walk the halls and I just pray, God, bless the conversations and bless the chairs and bless all the equipment. I just pray. I just start praying stuff. Y'all, I pray over the bathroom. Not that everything come out all right. I don't mean that. But I mean, what I pray for is that so many times, just in a little area like that, somebody can say something and snap and whatever. God, listen, I want God to permeate every part of this place. And not every part of this place, but every part of your homes and every part of your lives, every part of your relationships, every part of your automobile. You parents have just got kids about to drive or being started driving. Your prayer life went up big time, didn't it? Because you want God to float that car wherever it needs to go to get it from A to B because you know they don't have no sense to do it. And God knows that I don't have enough sense to, I don't really have enough sense to lead the church. I have to depend on him. You know, I'm adequate only because he made me that way. And you are because he made you that way. And so stop believing the enemy. Stop listening to his words that keep saying, you're not good enough. You're never going to be good enough. Why? When Emily gave an illustration a little ago, you got pregnant out of wedlock, so you're no good anymore. And God says, you know what? I can take anything that happens to you and I can turn it into a really, really good thing. That's the beauty from ash. Beauty from ash. And the devil will burn it down and God will come back. He'll make it prettier the second time. Y'all, one day he's going to do that to this world. One day he's going to do that to this world. He's going to come and he's going to, and I'm not, just go with me here. He's going to come and burn everything off here. It's a fire of judgment, but it's a refining fire. So I was taught that God's going to burn it all up and recreate something else, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he's going to make this new earth and new heavens, but it's not a brand new, it's this one resurrected. And so when you look around, you wonder why your relationships are all messed up, or you wonder why everything's about to die. Have you noticed that? Seasons come and all the trees are going to change colors, and autumn is beautiful. But it's a beautiful picture that follows up with winter, which is trees with no leaves. And we see death, only to see the picture of resurrection come again in the springtime when the trees bud and the flowers come back and everything blooms back and everything's glorious again. And we go, we do that. We see the beauty of it all. Same thing happens in our life. I'll be 60 years old next year. I know I'm already talking about it. I just got to be 59, so I'm going to enjoy this 59 stuff. And y'all, I got here quick. Scripture says the world, this life is like a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And we look at that and we go, oh no, he's talking about death. Y'all, death is just a step into the place that God wants us to be with him. For believers. If you're not a believer, death is something that's not going to be good. I just want to encourage you this morning by saying, listen, we have to keep it together, together. When you walk through Impact today, step one, you're going to get to see our membership or partnership, we call it. We don't call it membership because members are part of a club that get benefits. If you come be part of this, you're a partner here, which means you have a vested interest in what we're doing. And you're saying, I want to get involved. I want to serve. When you sign that partnership agreement, the very first point it says, I will protect the what church? Unity of my church. You know why that's first? It's because division is where the devil wants us. That's where he wants us. I could go on and on about this, but I wanted to give you a word to say, listen, listen, be careful with what I get offended about. Be careful with what I allow into my mind. Be careful with prejudgment and making somebody something they're not. The Bible says God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. He didn't say, I love the Christians well enough that I, you know. He didn't say, I love a certain kind of people. He said, I love the world. And Jesus died for the world. When I was a little boy, we used to sing it like this. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. All of them. And you can, what about, he loves them too. What? Just what about all day long? And he loves them as well. And he's called us to do that. Are y'all okay if I preach the sermon now? All right. I'm going to move. All right, I promise you. All you people that got lunch on your mind, repent of your evil ways. And no. Because I think we're all a little bit stressed out. And I think what you're asking me when you say you ask for a sermon on dealing with stress, what you're asking me to do is something I can't do. You're asking me to tell you how to keep everything you've got and all the stuff you got juggling around and figure out how to not have stress in the middle of that. It's impossible. It's an impossible task. You're saying, help us cope. I'm not going to do that. I want to help us learn. And the truth is, here's a truth we need to understand. I've just said it. Our days are numbered. Our days are numbered. First part of your notes today, by the way, when you came in, you should have gotten a worship guide. You put your notes out. We're going to fill in some blanks and learn some from the Word. Our days are numbered. Our days may come. Are y'all okay? I just want to make sure before I get into this that was all right. Here's the thing. If you've already been offended, you've already been gotten caught up in some of the enemy's evil junk, you don't have to wait till I finish to change that. Just, I need to work on this. I do, y'all. This is too easy. Just go, I wish she hadn't said that. He hadn't said that. She hadn't done that. What's it? All right, here we go. Scripture says our days may come to 70 or 80. Did y'all hear that? 70 or 80? I'm 11 years away from that first number. That'll give you a perspective. Give you perspective. Our days may come to 70 or 80 if strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Oh, glory, somebody said. Teach us, he says, to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Lord, help me to number my days. I know you've got a number in mind. I know what your number. I don't know what your number is, but I got to teach myself that there is a number and there is an ending to this. It always fascinates me when I start talking about that, what young people must be thinking in the room. 60? Man, you are old. 59? Whoa. You say the same thing. There will never be enough time to get all you want to get done. It's just not going to be. I can't tell you how many people will tell me, hey, as soon as I get this season over with whatever, and when they see season, I'm not talking about a football season or basketball season or baseball. I'm talking about a season of life. Just let me get through this season of my life, and then I'll come serve. Let me get past this point, and then I will do this. Man, you just can't believe how busy my life is. As soon as I get these things done, I get through school, and when you get through school, you always got a job, and you get through a job, and you always got to go to work, and you got it's always going to be something that the world is going to put out in front of you that's more important than anything that God would have you to do. And it doesn't mean those are not good things, or even godly things, but don't leave God out of those things. We're trying to cram so much into an already depleted schedule that it causes stress. And somebody this morning, we were talking about this, and I don't remember who it was. I said, you're going to love my sermon because I'm talking about that very thing. It's Neely. Me and Neely were talking, weren't we, brother? And people do this all the time. I say, how's it going, Neely? He said, man, I'm just busy, busy, busy. Busy, busy, busy. I'm not picking at him. He knows what I'm talking about. We are all that way, and we almost wear it like a badge. I'm busy. He wasn't, but I'm saying that sometimes we get so caught up in our busy, we forget that this, my days go faster than a runner, and they fly away without seeing any joy. We're letting the world take our joy away. What really matters, you see? So I'm going to call this idea of looking at life this way as taming our time. Time has to be tamed. It has to be redeemed and bought. You gotta spend your time well. You gotta budget time. Budget time. So, knowing that all of our days are numbered, there are three things I want you to learn. The first one is this: focus on what matters the most. What matters the most? Focus on it. I'm gonna give you two right now, and really three whole points under this. One is relationships. Relationships matter the most. First, our first relationship ought to be God. Ought to be God. Scripture says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved, he says, to money. Money. Now, nothing wrong with money. He's not saying you can't have money. He's saying you can't put God number one and put money number one. You can't put God number one and your spouse number one. You can't put God number one and your children number one. It has to be God number one, and everything else falls under that. And sometimes that's hard to teach. It's hard to teach because we get our emphasis on the wrong syllable. And so we don't know where we're going. And some of y'all get that tomorrow and you'll laugh. Anyway, not just God in relationships, but others. We have to focus on others. Scripture says your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. You want to know how people are going to look at us and know that we're disciples of Christ? It's how much we love each other. It's going to be judged. And how many times have you run into somebody that don't know Jesus and they say, man, y'all can't even get along with each other. Y'all got a church on every corner. What does that mean? When we were at the other building, we had a tattoo shop in our shopping center over there. I said, we were the only church around that had a tattoo shop in it. And I was speaking to the owner, and his name leaves me, but has a beautiful English accent. Some of you met him because you've had tattoos done over there. But anyway, we were chatting, and he said, In my country, we've got all these churches with empty, they're all empty. They're just big cathedrals and they're all empty. Over here, you got a bunch of different churches and all these people going to all these different churches. He said, what's the problem? And I said, we don't like each other. And he just looked at me like, what? I said, we don't like each other. We differ over little tiny things and sometimes big things. And being different over big things, that's all right, I guess. But that's what the world sees. They don't see, boy, look at the buckle of the Bible Belt. They got a bunch of churches. Ain't that good? Praise the Lord. They go, man, they can't get along with each other for nothing. They fight and do this kind of thing. And hey, by the way, I'm not going to sit here and be smug and think that we started because of an upset thing in a church. And I dare say that most of them in this area probably did. Maybe except Round Island. Round Island's the oldest church in this area. So they had to get mad at somebody somewhere else and come over here and start one. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke. So we have to love other people. And then number two, purpose. Relationship matters most. Purpose matters most. Why are you on the planet? Why are you here? That's a great question to ask, right? Why did God create you? And most people don't know they're designed. And that's part of why we do Impact, is it helps you understand a little bit more about yourself and how you tick and how you're designed. It's not that we got all the answers, but it really helps you trying to figure out where your spiritual gifts are and who you are. And here's why this is important. Scripture says, your eyes saw my unformed body all the days ordained for me. Everybody say ordained for me. Were written in your book before one of them ever came to be. It's not like God said, oh, there's Keith. He's born. I don't know what I'm going to do with him. There's Russ. What in the world am I going to do with him, right? Sorry, a little more emphasis there. No, God created the purpose, then he created Russ, then he created Keith. And what we spend our lives doing is trying to find what that is. God had a purpose for you, and then he created you. And I want to help you be able to find that. Talk to me afterwards if you want to know more about that. And then eternity. Eternity. What are the most important things? Eternity. The things that we carry with us are the things that will matter. And I just named a few of them. Relationships and your purpose will carry on into eternity. I'm telling you, I'm gonna preach a sermon on heaven soon. I'm just looking forward to that. So the things will carry. Remember that when you think, well, I want to give my kids the best things on the planet. My generation, I'm a baby boomer, and so just barely, but I am a baby boomer, born in 64, and my parents wanted to give us what they thought was the best things of the world. And so during my generation, things like microwave ovens got created. I remember the first one. I've told y'all that story before. It was hilarious. We'd go put cheese on a piece of bread and put it and turn it on just to watch the cheese bubble. We thought that's the most amazing thing in the world. Cordless phones, all these things that we had, and then all these convenience coming around. We were given everything. We were actually called the me generation. The me generation. Because it was all about us. And our parents helped us know that because we were more important than anything in their life. Let me tell you something as a parent. The most important thing you can give your children is faith in God. And you say, well, oh, you're a preacher. You're supposed to say that. Well, I want you to try it out. Try it for a year. Turn your life over to Jesus and watch what happens. If you start praying and you start praying more than just over the table, you start praying real prayers over your kids and you start, by the way, table prayers are good too, but you start really reading the Word of God and you start imbibing that and putting it into your life and watching it work in your life and you watch your children go, what has happened? And here's the thing. If you've waited till they're teenagers, it's going to take a little longer for them to figure it out, okay? But don't not do it. Go for it. Go for it. Give your all to everything that is God, because the best thing you can give your children is faith and then a good marriage and on and on. Be a good example for them. Those are the gifts they need. The stuff in this world goes away, every bit of it. Do you remember what you got for Christmas, kids? I mean, do you really? Is it broken already? You got to replace it already? You need to upgrade it already? Whatever. I mean, it all goes away. But faith is something they'll carry the rest of your life. I'm skipping to the next point, Jessica. The next thing we need to do. No, I'm not. I'm not skipping that. That's the Word of God, man. The Bible says this. That's why we never give up, though our bodies are dying and our spirits are being renewed every day. It's a daily thing. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So, he says, we don't look at the troubles we can see now. And that's so many times the easiest part to focus on. Let me encourage you, don't focus on the troubles that are there now. Look what he says. We fix our gaze. We don't just kind of glance at it every now and then. Our gaze is on that. It becomes our North Star. It's the point that's the way we move forward is we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Have you ever been through something in your life and you thought it was never going to end and it was never going to go away and it was going to be with you for the rest of your life only to watch God redeem it and bring it back and you get to be able to see, hey, that's where I was, but this is where I am now. He's saying, don't look at those things. Look at what can be. Look at what's forward. And I'm not saying ignore. Y'all, freedom is all about getting rid of our past and moving past our past. And some of you right now are in situations where you're living your what's about to be your past. And it's hard to hear this message. But I'm just encouraging us all to fix my gaze on Christ. When I don't get what I want, I need to fix my gaze on Christ. One way to do that is next point, and that is to reduce your non-essentials. You got to get rid of the things that don't matter. Instead of making a to-do list, make a to-don't list. Emily, that's going to be hard for you, girl. Emily's going to make a to-do list for everybody. She'll send me a to-do list. By the way, here's what you need to do this with. Okay, I like that. And y'all know I'm an IS. Lists are great. I like to look at them. I enjoy looking. I like to dream about them. I just rarely put them in my calendar and actually do them. And so we just to do. Fix you a to-don't list. This is something I'm not going to do anymore. Take some do's out and do some don'ts. We chase I just made that up. We chase after things that are essential. I'm sorry. We chase for things that we think are essential, and we need to simplify our lives. I had a whole bunch to say here, but Jesus said it this way, or actually Solomon said it this way. Better to have a handful with quietness than two handfuls with hard work and a chasing after the wind. We live in a culture that says if you got $1, two is what? That's better, right? You got one car? Two is what? Better. You got one wife? No. We're not going to go there. No. You got one kid? I'm not sure. I don't know. Hey, congrats, by the way, to the Grosses back here and the Neelys. They got little babies a-blooming. Isn't that wonderful? And so we think if we got one thing, we have two is a whole lot better. Let me tell you something. He says here, it's better to have one thing with some quietness than to have a whole bunch of stuff and you got chaos surrounding your life. He says chasing after the wind. I'll let you figure that out, all right? We've got so much to manage that we can't manage ourselves. And that's the scary part. And just even when I pray sometimes, I just look at all the things I'm praying over and I'm just going, God, I got so much going on. I had so much happening in my life that sometimes it's just good for me to just sit down and be quiet for a little bit. That's hard for me, by the way. And that's no joke. It's really hard for me. We need to manage it so we can do the last thing, and that's prioritize our life. Prioritize our life. Jesus said this, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. A few weeks ago, Liz and I were up here after service talking, and Giovanni walks up to me, and he said, I got a question. I got a Bible question. I said, what's your Bible question? He said, well, we've been reading the Old Testament, and we read the Ten Commandments. And we've been studying about how the Sabbath day, and he taught what he heard from it. And this is what I was taught growing up, that the Sabbath day is no longer in force. That we don't have to do the Sabbath day anymore. And he looked at me and he said, does that mean we only have 9 commandments now? So that was what was bothering him, is we're going to have to get rid of one of the commandments. And he knew that was not a very good thing to do. And this is what I told him about the Sabbath. I said, Giovanni, your mind may not grasp this right now, but God wasn't getting rid of the Ten Commandments. He was getting rid of our have to keep the law. And I said, I know that's hard for you to understand. I said, and what I really wanted him to hear was this. I said, we got rid of the Sabbath. It happened when I was a kid. It may have happened in other generations, but I remember as a kid growing up, some of y'all do, that if you want something done, and it's a Sunday, you can just sit down for a little while, because it's not going to be done on Sunday. Nothing was open on Sunday. Not even restaurants. When I was a little boy in my town, not even restaurants opened on Sunday. Everybody shut it down for a day. If you want a gas in your car, you better get it on Saturday. You wouldn't find it on Sunday. One of my favorite Andy Griffith episodes is about a guy who gets in town and he can't get anything done on Sunday. Because Sabbath meant something. And we can get into arguments about which day Sabbath is and all that, but Sabbath is a concept. It's a concept that we got rid of, and in place of it, we put work. Some of you work 7 days a week, try to come home and get some rest and eat. God bless you for your work ethic. I appreciate that. But you need to rest. Someday. Russ challenged me the other night. He and Rebecca and Liz and I were talking one night. We were talking about Sabbath. And I said, I'm going to pick a day of the week where I unplug my phone and I just get away from all of this stuff and all this. And I said, I think I'm going to pick Friday. So it was, we were up here praying, what was it, Thursday night, I guess, or whatever it was. And I said, so I got to get back to the office tomorrow and do something. He said, I thought Friday was your Sabbath. I said, I ain't started that yet. But y'all, we got to start resting. And That means we got to put some things that are important ahead of some things that aren't as important. We really do. Seek it first. This verse says, seek, the translation I just read says, seek above all else. I still like the other translations where it says, seek first. Prioritize. In the morning, before you send a text, pray. Before you get on the phone or check your email or turn the TV on to watch the dreaded bad news of the day, read the Bible. Spend 5 minutes. Challenge you. First 15 minutes, prioritize your day. Because here's the thing. The most important question for Keith today is, am I seeking God with all my heart? Are you? Will you stand up for me? Will you stand up? As we end today, I want to put one more verse on the board. And that's this. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? I don't know of anybody who would answer that yes. But by the way we live, we answer it yes. Now we need to erase some things and put some good stuff in place of that stuff. Don't leave it empty. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. Even if you fill it up with the Spirit. God, I want to ask you today to please come in. And Father, as the prayer team comes forward and people are considering whether they want prayer, whether they want to just what they want to pray about, or how they want to prioritize their life, or how they're trying to maybe digest some of these words that I've said today. God, I pray. Pray for clear minds and clear thoughts. That in this moment, we won't worry about being late or having to be somewhere else or how fast we're going to get done, but just be thinking about right now, what can I do, God, to focus more on you? How can I love my spouse better? How can I love my kids better, my parents? How, Father, can I love my neighbor? How can I show love to people like Jasmine on the sidewalk? How can I best serve people who don't know me? Father, how can I be your servant at work or at play or whatever? As we're thinking about that, Lord, I pray you will convict our hearts and help us to know what it is you would have us to be and how to be. God, you're worthy of everything. You are so massive and amazing, but yet so personal and so close. And when I whisper, you hear me because you're right here with me. So God, I pray that people will come right now for prayer. Maybe someone who's never named Jesus as Lord will do that today. Someone who's never submitted to repentance or confession or water baptism or just being a part of something, change their heart today and choose to let go of some of these things and put you in place. It's through Christ that I pray. Please feel free to come forward to any of our prayer team. They're down here for you.
Here is where I lay down every
Thinking right now, maybe, man, I was just too late. I was starting to move. I started to take a step. It's not. It's not. It's not. Make the move right where you are. And just proclaim it right now. It's going to be different. It's not a feeling, it's a choice. Breaking down walls. Might shake your life up. Might make your friends go, hmm. Give it up today. Sometimes I get in these moments and I'm thinking, I don't even want to go out the door today. Be in this place, man. It's a dream come true. To have freedom. To have freedom. What a dream to come true. God, thank you for letting us see the fruit of our labors today. That people come and get free. So, Father, we're going to make more room for you, Lord. And I know you're everywhere at the same time, and it's almost a ridiculous thought, but God, we literally want to clean out our hearts for you. And you come in and fill us up. In Jesus' name. And everybody say a good amen right there. Come on. Come on. Can y'all give God just about 10 seconds of the best praise? Come on. Woo. I love you guys. I hope that this week, I hope this is starting the week off as good as it possibly could for you. Impact at 5. Come back. Please put your connection cards in those boxes and prayer requests, by the way, in those boxes in the back. And hey, we love you. Go with God. Have a great, great Sunday.